It's night, dark and cold. I walk in the city alone in the crowd.
Islamic laws.
Every street, every store is filled with colors and smiles as before. I know clouds are hidden behind these faces. Is there anyone who has a sunny heart? I put on my headphones and play the song, which repeats in chanty whisper. I say, why is my heart set on fire when I hear your name?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio. And we would like to actually express our condolences and sorrow and sadness for the martyrdom of, the master of the martyrs, Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, peace be upon him. We're going to talk about some of the Islamic laws regarding the mourning ceremonies of Imam Hussein, or in commemoration of his martyrdom. And also Arba'in. Well, before that, let's take a listen to a short biography of Ayatollah Khomeini, and we'll be back. Don't go away. A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtada Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, "We testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up till 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that.
Back to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Tawheed, our guest speaker. We are talking about some of the jurisprudential laws about the morning ceremonies of the martyrdom of the master of the martyrs, Imam Hussein, peace be upon him, and the month of Muharram and Safar with Sheikh Tawheed, based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. Let me start off this episode, Sheikh Tawheed, with this question. You know, there is this enthusiasm and joy in the hearts of Muslims, particularly I'm talking about the Shias. And once this fire is ignited, they want to do everything within their power to get their hands to Karbala and, you know, do the pilgrimage, in fact, to that area in Iraq in order to, let's say, quench their thirst or answer their desire, in fact, you know, for the fact that they have such a high regard for Imam Hussein and his noble companions. So is it permissible when there are so much, you know, intent on going to Karbala, if they don't have a passport, if they don't have a visa, is it permissible one way or another to get their hands on a passport? Or, you know, is it necessary to have a valid passport in this regard or in this situation, which is very difficult, especially during those times, you know, because there is always this, you know, rush from the neighboring countries.
Yes, of course.
To rally and march toward Iraq and Karbala. And it's very much crowded. So is it obligatory to have a valid passport and a visa to travel or to be among the pilgrims on this path to Arba'in, for example, during Arba'in or to Iraq?
Well, you are right. There are thousands of devout Muslims who want to participate in the Arba'in rally, and no matter what it might cost them. His Eminence Grand Ayatollah Khamenei says that it is necessary to comply with the pertinent laws and regulations. So compliance with the laws and regulations is necessary in all circumstances, and any violation of such laws is not permissible according to him. So if you know, visiting Karbala, you know, taking part in the rally is not wajib, it's not you know, compulsory, and one should not you know, violate a law, you know, violate the rules of a country trying to push for visiting Karbala at any cost. Of course, he can wait. Of course, he has time. There are years to come, and he can wait till he is able to acquire a valid passport, and then in the following year he can take action for visiting Karbala or the holy sites.
Mm-hmm, I see. Sheikh Tawheed, can college students take time off during the school year or educational year in order to attend the Arba'in pilgrimage?
Well, students must also abide by the pertinent rules and regulations. They are not an exception. So, especially when the university requires them to stay in college and their colleges or university, and continue taking part in the lessons. So they should actually abide by the rules and regulations and not violate them.
I see. Okay, thank you very much. Let's take a short break and we'll be back and continue our program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio. Stay with us.
The followers of Ayatollah Khomeini can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khamenei's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Allah, ya Allah, guide me all the way to your Jannah, ya Allah, oh Allah. Don't let me go astray, cause I need you.
Back to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, host of this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. We are still talking about some of the jurisprudential laws about the mourning ceremony of Imam Hussein, peace be upon him, and some of these laws related to Arbaeen pilgrimage. Sheikh Javid, a woman has pledged to offer food as a religious vow every year on the occasion of Arbaeen. This year, she intends to participate in the Arbaeen pilgrimage herself. And so, on the day of Arbaeen, she'll be in Iraq, of course, and not in her hometown, where she had originally made the pledge. So, how does the pilgrimage affect the status, the religious status of her pledge or vow or nazr, and how can she fulfill it?
Well, it depends. If she has not uttered the specific legally prescribed formula, which they call sigha of nazr, let's say, she's not under any religious obligation to carry out the pledge, mm-hmm. because there is no formula. She didn't recite any formula in the first place. So actually, she's not under the obligation to carry out or fulfill that pledge. Okay, she made a promise in her mind without reciting or uttering any formula. That does not make it obligatory. It's not going to be binding. But if she indeed uttered the prescribed formula in accordance with the conditions specified in Islamic law, then she must honor her pledge because she made a nazr, and a nazr has to be acted upon accordingly. And it is not permissible for her to do otherwise, to act against it or to violate the nazr that she made.
Mm-hmm. What about her intention? Can her intention suffice it to call it a nazr then?
No, and the intention is not enough, okay? If you want to make a legally binding nazr, it's necessary to utter the formula.
Pronounce that formula.
To pronounce that formula, which is to say, okay, it is a duty from Allah upon me to, let's say, to give food to the pilgrims on a specific day. And it can be done in Arabic, it can be done in any language that mm-hmm. she or he speaks.
I see. Imagine that, Sheikh Javid, that somebody has made a pledge whose date of fulfillment is the day of Arbaeen. Can the same individual perform their pledge on the day prior to Arbaeen?
Mm. Well, again, I should say that if he did not pronounce the formula, he is not under any religious obligation on account of the pledge. Mm-hmm. He is not supposed to fulfill it. And so he may move the date as he sees fit, as he sees appropriate. He can do it any time before the Arbaeen or even after the Arbaeen season. So because that was not fixed, and it was not it's not a binding formula because he did not pronounce the formula of nazr. But if he has uttered the specific formula prescribed by the Islamic Sharia, in accordance with the Islamic Sharia, of course, then this pledge must be acted upon and must be fulfilled. Anyone who makes such a pledge must act in accordance with the conditions of the pledge he made.
Mm-hmm. Even if the same individual has pledged like whose actually date of the fulfillment is Arba'in, can the same individual change the time later?
I did say that if it was pronounced, the formula was pronounced, he should act according to the formula. He should act according, he should fulfill the nazar on the very specified day, okay? Mm-hmm. If he did not pronounce the formula, it's not binding. He can move the date, yeah, and do it anytime he deems fit.
Sooner or later.
Yes.
Okay, thank you very much, Ashrabid, and thank you, my dear listeners, for listening to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Every breath that you did take, every step that you would make, purpose and guidance it gave, mankind's heart it reawaked. Many people did leave the first teachings received, Hussein planned to retrieve, loss of faith he perceived. Many people did leave the first teachings received, Hussein plan to retrieve, loss of faith he perceived. Guide, you would be in place of Rasul to restore the sacred bridge. Light, you would radiate in the dark and continue the message. When you passed through arid sand, met foreigners of New York.